You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Moon and June stuff. The Brunettes here on the 95BFM Drive Show with Smashing and Big J. We're here with Gareth Shoot. In keeping with the CNZ Music Month, Te Marama Poro or Aotearoa theme of our people, our spaces, we've published some new stories about classic Aotearoa venues, including the mighty Galatos.
Yeah, so I thought I'd start in a self-centred note and start with the Brunettes, which is kind of the first show. Not the first show I went to. I went to Dry and Heavy, the Japanese dub band. But then I played at this Brunette show, which is right in the beginning of my music career. I was in the Toki Tones who supported them, and it was a real funny, memorable gig at Galatos that really stuck that venue in my mind. Because it was a Back to the Future theme, and they did a whole fake thing where, like, in the movie, Michael J. Fox replaces the guitarist in the band at the ball because he hurts his hand. So, like, Jonathan from the Brunettes pretended to hurt his hand, and Liam Finn got up and played this, like, ripping guitar solo doing the Michael Jackson, the Michael J. Fox thing. And from then on, I've been with Little Chief, like, I was working on the Maynard Larkin album today that is coming up.
Oh, awesome.
But, my other role is as a music historian writing for Audio Culture, and I wrote a book, Songs from the Shaky Isles, about New Zealand music history going back to the 1800s. And so I really became interested in venues like this, and I was really shocked to discover that Galatos was actually a music venue back in 1908 when it very first opened as the Druids Hall, which is kind of bizarre.
We were reading the article you wrote, and we saw the Druids Hall. very, very curious.
It sounds mysterious.
So back in the day, you know how Freemasons have all their weird handshakes and little hats and stuff? Well, there was another organisation that took it even more full on called the Druids, and they were had big beards and wore like these druid cloaks and shit and did the whole thing. And they're like, so they But they were a community organisation that had a hall not only for their secretive kind of businessmen meetings, but also that they wanted to make for the public. And so they made it with an amazing dance floor, this big sprung parquet dance floor, and started having regular dances. So what do you think a dance would have been like in 1920s? What do you think people got up to?
Oh, I mean, just judging by the druids, maybe some magic sacrifices, spells. Yeah. Yeah, sacrifices, maybe a cup of tea and a biscuit.
Well, I'm imagining jazz during those days. Well, that was early jazz, right?
Yeah, it's like almost pre-jazz. The funny thing to think about is that it was 6 o'clock closing. So unlike a gig now, there was no alcohol.
Yeah.
So you'd go along, unless you snuck it in.
Yeah.
So it was like you go along and dance, and then you sit down around seats around the edge and have a meal on your lap. And then they'd like sell cigarettes, and they had all these wacky sort of Monte Carlo sort of gambling. And then they had like competitions like balloon waltzes, where you'd have to dance with a partner with a balloon and try not to pop it and shit.
So
like
you have
that.
Gambling at a full meal, but no drinks.
No drinks.
I can just, my first ever gig at Gilitos was the Chats in 2019, which is why we opened up with a chat song. I'm just trying to envision in that sweaty mosh pit,
yeah,
all meat and three veg with some some gravy. Like, hey, fuck off, I'm trying to eat my mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that the floor was like especially made for like dancing, like. So it's real slick for sliding, and then it sprung to bounce up and down. But all it sees for the last sort of 20 years has been people jumping up and down trying to destroy
just
it.
Just get a bit more airtime than anticipated.
That beautiful floor as well.
Stunning, yeah. One of the only ones in the Southern Hemisphere, am I correct?
Yeah, I think of that size and parkade with the little rectangles making up the pattern and stuff. And so it went on for a really long time as like a dance hall, and all like American troops went there during the war and would queue up outside and wear their nice white gloves and dance with the local ladies and stuff. So it had this amazing kind of prehistory. And then in the 50s, it slowly died out and it got taken over as a league club for like decades and decades and decades, which was just where all the league players used to go and drink and play pool and stuff. And then in the late 90s, John Minty, who's a well-known Aucklander, discovered the space because these ladies wanted to start a swingers club upstairs. There was a karaoke bar downstairs and they were going to start a swingers club, and they knew all these businessmen that they'd been working with, and they got all this investment, and they made this that's why the top bar, which was the mezzanine level that was added in 1921, has a really weird curved bar and stuff because it was made really loungy and it had really tall curtains and they actually had a bed just in front of the bar. But then suddenly at the last minute, these two women took all the money and just flew overseas with all the money.
That's a pretty good business model.
Yeah.
Did that include a full meal as well?
There you go. Now you're thinking.
Half-time nutrition.
Well, it's for sale now, Gallipas, so you can start this business plan.
Yeah.
I thought we'd get into the John Minty era, because he's like, you know, the guy who runs Splore up until recently.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dance music there. So I thought we'd listen to a bit of Concord Dawn.
Yeah.
And one reason why, if you ever watch the video for Concord Dawn's this track, Morning Light, their big hit, if you get about halfway through, it goes to a dance floor, and this is at Gallitos. They actually filmed the dancing scene. So
it's sort of an immortalization almost of Gallitos.
Yeah, yeah. The past parties. So, and if you're listening, do send in any memories from Gallitos.
Yeah. 5395, text in, what's your favourite memory from Gallitos? We're going to talk more about that 90s John Minty era after this song.
Please don't.
Concord Dawn, Morning Light.
In the background here on this lovely evening.
Makes me want to run through a wall.
what a build up.
Someone's texted in saying the last BFM Unst party was at Galatos. Epic night. Should bring it back, hey? Not opposed to that, are we?
Yeah, absolutely not.
There's the B-Rave now. Yeah. Live with it. Yep. Live in the modern world.
Come to that. So this is right from the era of the John Minty. John Minty, when he sort of took over.
And the other crazy thing about John Minty, once he'd been running it for a few years, with a couple of partners, like the guy from Coogee Lounge helped out and stuff. You can read the full story on Audio Culture. But he was friends with the people from Big Day Out, and he found that the bands often wanted to do warm-up shows or whatever. They didn't want to go, often it was the beginning of a tour, and they didn't want to go straight on to a big Day Out festival show without playing a show beforehand. So one of the first ones was like Coldplay wanted to do a show. So even though they were just at the edge of their height, they turned up and played this tiny venue, Galatos. Yep. And a legendary one was Foo Fighters, because that was one where from underneath, the security guard was actually trying to pile up stuff because the sprung floor was bouncing so much. He thought it was going to break through into the basement level.
Gosh, that's two big names.
Yeah.
Are there any other legendary? Yeah,
well, there's been a lot of guests as well, right?
Yeah, I think John Minty's biggest memory is maybe when Mars Volta played and Metallica got in touch through their security guards saying, can we come along too? And so he's like found himself like watching Miles Volta with James Hetfield next to him going, oh, I wish I could play drums like that and shit. So like,
oh, it's like a crazy era. You get anyone else to play drums probably be as good as Lars.
Burn.
No offense if you're listening, Lars Ulrich from Metallica. I'm sure you're listening to the 95 BFM Drive Show.
We've got a text from someone from that era. They saw Trinity Roots maybe around 1999-ish. They played with the gig with two drummers, and they've described it as magical.
Yeah, it's just had so many amazing shows. All the big New Zealand bands, Beck Wronger, whoever, Pluto did their album release there, Golden Horse, all that early 2000s set. This, you know, the room downstairs where you could have gigs, the room upstairs, so sometimes they'd have multiple things going at once.
Yeah.
And then it did have a weird era when it was run by Moving Image Centre, who used it for more like video things and stuff, but gigs kept going. And but the recent era is Andrea Clark and Dean Fiteri. I can't read my writing because I didn't bring my glasses.
Neither did I.
But he's like an old dancehall, Maori show band guy, and he just wanted to run it. The great thing is Galatos is the people who owned it owned the actual venue. They weren't just renting.
Oh, same.
And so, like, when he owned it, they just owned it, so they could keep going through COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the modern era, I think a lot of people, when they think of Galatos, would think of Others Way, because it's had so many, like, amazing shows there.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's a shame that it's, like, for sale at the moment, the building's for sale, and Others Way's ending and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope people remember that it first opened in 1908, and have a look on Audio Culture for my full story. And I should also mention I'm doing a talk about historic New Zealand music venues on June 20th at the Auckland Central Library at 2 p.m. because it's part of their Encore exhibition, which is all about local venues too, which is a really cool like exhibition on the second floor that's free to go to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, Gareth, but at uni I did an assignment about Auckland venues and about the interactive maps.
Oh, did you email me on
I did email you
on LinkedIn or something, wasn't it?
Yes, I messaged you on LinkedIn.
Oh, no shit. Oh, nice to meet you in real life. Yeah, I remember that story.
I just remembered that. So full circle moment very much right here.
Yeah, I got totally obsessed with these venues. But so the Galatos story is like a classic one though, because it just opened before the Auckland Town Hall. Like, it, you know, if it started in 1908 and the Town Hall was like 1911.
Yep.
But I thought we'd go, have a look on Audio Culture. Got a bunch of venue related stories, and as Smashton said, there's whole venue maps of Auckland if you want to go back to the 80s and stuff. I haven't done a 90s one yet, but lots of memories there. And I thought I'd be selfish again and just play us out on the last band that I saw play there, which was Romy Wright's when they played Others Way. Amazing.
I saw them open for Lee Fields when he came to the Hollywood Avenue.
Oh, cool.
Unreal.
What a
so
lineup.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Gareth. And to Audio Culture to give those articles a read. But some Romy Wright's in your ears right now. And 38 minutes left of the show. Stick around. You're on the boo.
loving you this way. You mess it up, I stay. Close that door, seems to open up some more.
On 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's time.